Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning. Talking a little college football, the Vols and the Nico Iamaliava situation. And to help us talk about that, we head to our 102.5, The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Chris Vanini, who covers college football for The Athletic. Chris, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good to be here.
Good to have you with us. So, Chris, let's just start on the Nico front here. Obviously, when you look at his camp around him, it just looks like some really bad advising from their standpoint to him on the outside looking in. What do you make of the decision by the Iamaliava circle that has led to this point of where at the moment it kind of seems like he's out there floating in the wind?
The whole thing was so interesting to me, specifically because it was Iamaliava and not just some other player, because Nico changed the game the first time around when he signed that big NIL deal in high school. And then the state attorney general there sued the NCAA over it and changed NCAA rules. He was one of the first players, and by extension his family, one of the first groups that understood how much a top high school recruit was really worth and how much they could get for it. And that changed a lot of the ways people do recruiting, the amount of money players make. And so he changed the game once again here for players, but probably in a bad way, or in a way that gives more leverage back to the schools, because pretty much nobody was on his side for this point. This wasn't like, you know, something that wasn't given to him or anything. He had signed a big contract, and suddenly he wants more, and it goes public. So I think you've seen some coaches speak out against it elsewhere already, and that'll ultimately be part of his legacy, just as the first NIL deal was. Even though he still has a lot of football still to play, he's changed college football twice already.
Yeah, and I know, Chris, we've had some, you know, coworkers who did a good story talking about, like, the market for him, talking to various people around the sport, you know, about what they think the market would be for him. But I've been kind of looking around. It's like, man, I just don't see an obvious spot. We were talking earlier in the show, like, maybe it's like whoever the Vols end up lifting from someone, then they go get Nico. But, like, is there anything that stands out to you as, like, a potential good opportunity? Like North Carolina apparently not interested, as, like, an actual opportunity where he could start for a good team this year?
Well, at the Power 4 level, not particularly. But, again, like you said, it may depend if Tennessee pulls somebody from somewhere else. And I think that will be an important thing to keep an eye on. But you never know. I mean, all it takes is one school to really feel like they need to do something here with him and give him some amount of money. As our colleagues wrote, a lot of GMs and personnel people were saying, nah, he's probably worth more like $1 to $1.5 million. But it's possible someone gives him three. You know, if you have one school that likes him and another school that creates a bidding situation, you never know. So it's impossible to predict right now. It sounds like North Carolina is likely to take Gio Lopez from South Alabama, who is probably not as good a quarterback as Nico, but probably a lot less expensive. And I think that how that factors into all of this is the situation, too. Nico walking away from about $2.5 million. Is there a certain level he's expecting at that next school I don't know if he's going to get it.
So, Chris, what did you make of the way that Josh Heupel and his staff handled this? They're getting a lot of praise right now, obviously, with kind of drawing a line in the stand. But what did you make of his handling of this specifically and kind of where he sits now on the other side of this as they go to look for another quarterback?
Well, once it got public, I don't know if there's anything else he could have done. Because at that moment, once it went public, the fans sided with him. The fans decided, no, the team is more important than an individual player. And Tennessee had to weigh that. It's possible they don't get a better quarterback in this cycle. It's possible they struggle and go 5-7 or 6-6 or something like that. And if that happens, are you okay with that? Are fans okay with that ultimately if they let Nico walk and the season was what it was as a result? Tennessee had to weigh that and made the decision that, yes, it is. And this decision by Josh Heupel and everybody else set the tone elsewhere. Because if Tennessee blinks or caves or whatever, or pays up after a discussion goes public, that would have created the domino effect and opened the door for players across the country to do that similarly. Hey, if I go public with my holdout, it's going to help me. And the fact that it didn't help Nico means a lot of schools, like I said earlier, have some leverage this time around where they know the fan base probably won't be on their side. This isn't like an NFL holdout with Ja'Marr Chase and the Bengals or something like that where the fans love Ja'Marr Chase and they want to pay him. That's not the case here. It's not the case for probably most college football players. And so the decision about Josh Heupel, I know and I'm sure, was lauded by coaches across the country.
Yeah, and then the ones who want more money, which happens all the time, right? And the school agrees, and that quietly happens, and we don't even know about it, right? I mean, that's the thing. Like this is taken care of and doesn't become a public thing if Tennessee didn't feel like it was being extorted unfairly. So, Chris, big picture here. I feel like, you know, we'll spend the next few years saying, so when are we going to get to, like, you know, like contracts and where I think it inevitably has to lead, but obviously we have now this revenue share settlement. We have this clearinghouse and fair market value Deloitte stuff, which just, I don't know, I'm not a big fan of. We do have some contracts that, like, schools are trying to put some buyout elements in some of these contracts now, but where do you think we're headed here in the next year or two?
It's hard to say. Like, the house settlement is most likely coming, and schools have already had players sign a lot of contracts with the school, multi-year deals, buyouts, and the like. But we've already seen that pushed against because there was that player from Wisconsin who left Wisconsin and went to Miami outside of the portal window, despite having this house settlement contract. And Wisconsin claims that they own his NIL rights. So something's going to happen there at some point between Miami and Wisconsin. And if it all works out for that player, there basically is no transfer portal at that point, window. It's just whenever you want to do something. So it's not like players want to sign it's not like schools want to sign players to four-year contracts, because if a player doesn't pan out, they want to be able to cut bait too. So that's why you're getting a lot of 1 years or maybe 2 years. It might not be more than that. I'm not exactly sure teams and coaches know what they want yet at this point. But presuming the house settlement goes through, that should help a little bit. I do think the Nico situation might help something happen in Congress, but it takes something going really wrong for Congress to get involved. So it's hard to say. Yes, contracts are coming. Yes, they kind of already exist. Are buyouts enforceable? I don't know. We know that people are going to continue to challenge everything possible, and so the legal problems will not go away. There will just be new problems.
But so that's why, like, some level of collective bargaining has to be part of it, right? So that now you are participating in the creation of the economic model.
It would be the ideal situation, but you don't need to be employees to collectively bargain,
right?
But who's going to do that on behalf of the players? Because players are in and out so quickly, they're changing schools now every year. it's such a transient sport. It's why I personally don't think unionization will happen, because it's so difficult. There's 130 teams with 80-plus players. It's really hard to figure that out. It would take something like lawyers and some other people and all the players just agreeing to go along with it. But if you're a player right now, if you're a G5 player, it's the best time to be a great G5 player, because somebody will be willing to give you a bunch of money at the P4 level. It's a pretty good situation for players right now. Technically, they may not be making the best decisions, but they can do pretty much whatever they want. And so that is, you're going to have to create something that they would want to sign into too.
I think that we should just, I think that we should just make Diego Pavia a lifelong student. He can be the union head for like the next 20 years. That's my, it's Vandy will take him. Vandy will take him as quarterback for the next decade, you know?
I'm sure they would. Chris, last thing for you here. You know, now Tennessee's got a hole to fill at quarterback. And, you know, they've got two scholarship quarterbacks on their roster, but Heupel said he's going in the portal, and I would assume he's going in the portal to try to land a starter here. So as we sit here today on April the 15th with the spring portal opening up, how challenging do you think it's going to be for him to find a high-level starting quarterback in the portal? And is there anybody that really comes to mind on that front for you?
Well, I don't want to say any names right now because nobody is in the portal, and that would just be really speculating and putting players in a bad spot. But the difficulty of it all for Tennessee and for Nico is that it's spring practice is over. You know, like, it's not like whoever you get is going to be able to come in, go through spring, get to know everybody, and then, like, you feel good about it.
Right.
You're just going to come in essentially in fall camp. And that's the same thing with Nico. It's like, well, if we went through spring with our team, we feel pretty good about where we're at. Do we need to bring in Nico and all the questions that could set up? And it's the same thing for Tennessee. They'll make big swings. They'll put out big money for somebody. Probably the same, if not a little bit more than they were paying Nico. But can you convince a kid to do that after he's already gone through so much, after he's already presumably said he's going to stay there in the previous portal window? It's just like coaches. It's a lot harder to hire coaches after signing day, because coaches are like, man, I wouldn't want to leave my guys now. And I think you'll have a good amount of quarterbacks who don't want to leave their teams now. Now, Tennessee is a very appealing place. Got some good wide receivers. They just made the playoff. Can offer a lot of money. You know, you could find somebody. But it's a lot harder now than it would have been in the winter. And that's the thing about the spring portal, is that it's so late in the process. Usually why you don't see many big names move. But here we are.
Here we are, indeed. Absolutely crazy stuff this weekend. Chris, great stuff, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us. Appreciate your perspective as always, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yep, thanks for having me.
Chris Vanini from The Athletic, our guest on Robbie and Rexroll. We'll react to what Chris had to say. More of your thoughts to get to on the Vols. We will get into the Titans and another Kuiper mock draft later this hour as well.
I got something else we got to get into. We got some emails about Belichick's girlfriend. Oh, my goodness, this is good.
Really?
Stuff.
Okay, we'll get into all that. Robbie and Rex Road, kind of scared. 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. I got some tickets to give away to see Cake at the Ascend Amphitheater coming up this Saturday night. Be caller number 4, 615-737-1025. Caller 4 will win a pair of tickets to see Cake at the Ascend Amphitheater coming up this Saturday night.
I'll see you there.
Rex Road will be there.
Rolling in Cake.
Maybe so.
Maybe in more than one way.
Maybe so. We'll see what happens on Saturday night. Joe, so I'm almost afraid to ask, but you brought up Bill Belichick and some emails with his girlfriend. So what have we uncovered here at The Athletic?
Yeah, so we had my coworker and my favorite slot receiver when we destroyed the University of Michigan newspaper alumni team, Chris Vanini. Great slot receiver, caught a couple touchdown passes from my golden arm in that destructive victory of the blue. Now we transition to Matt Baker at The Athletic, who I knew he was working on this story. This is pretty good stuff, man. So here's the headline. Headline, quote, how involved is Bill Belichick's girlfriend at UNC? New emails show a glimpse inside her role. So let me read. So he used open records, FOIA, Freedom of Information Act, to get these emails, which, hey, Bill, you know, unlike the NFL, in college football, you work at a public university, so we can get this stuff. Be aware. You know, head on a swivel, buddy. So here's one of her emails from December. It says, quote, though Steve Belichick is in fact Bill's son, he should be depicted and represented as his own established, credible entity as opposed to an extension of Bill.
Oh.
It can easily be misinterpreted that Steve is simply benefiting from nepotism, but that is not the case. Steve was fortunate to have learned defensive football strategy from the greatest defensive mind of all time. He has earned his position due to his performance and output.
Okay.
Also, there's a lot of stuff like that. Back and forth. Yes, of course, we'll promote him. She also asked that they don't have pictures of them together, which is, she said the school shouldn't use images of Steve and Bill Belichick together to prevent, quote, visual prompts that could fuel accusations of nepotism.
Okay.
So there you go. There's nothing, however, found here, emails about the youngest son, Brian, who is the Tar Heels DB. I didn't even realize there was another young Belichick who's also coaching with Tar Heels.
They're not worried about nepotism with Brian. Okay.
Yeah, good. I guess so. I guess it's like, yeah, I mean, what can you do, right? Steve has gone on his own.
He has.
So,
he has.
Also, there's some, yeah, there's some stuff about, she said in February, quote, is anyone monitoring the North Carolina football page for slanderous commentary and subsequently deleting it / blocking users that are harassing Bill in the comments? And apparently, he then followed up Bill did and said, quote, I cannot believe UNC would support my being called a predator. and on and on. So, hey, Jordan Hudson is kind of running things over there.
Apparently so. Jeez. That's going to be a total disaster, isn't it?
I don't know. I'm so intrigued. It's going to be a huge story. College football, it's just, we had the Deion thing, which has worked out better than I thought it would, by the way. I mean, it hasn't been amazing. By the way, they're like retiring Shador's jersey. Like,
I saw that.
What? But no Shiloh? Yeah. I mean, retiring Travis Hunter's jersey at some point, I would agree with. He won the Heisman.
Yeah.
Maybe not like 2 seconds after he leaves.
Yeah,
that's kind of weird.
He hasn't even been drafted yet.
Right, but yeah, at some point. But yeah, retiring Shador Sanders' jersey is what? But
as
so
I
we
pointed
had that,
out yesterday, and I know Florida doesn't really do this, but Tim Tebow's jersey's not retired, and Shador Sanders is. So
is that right?
Stew on that for a minute.
Tim Tebow.
I mean, Richardson wore 15. Graham Mertz wore 15. They're just throwing that number around. Apparently, anybody that plays quarterback for Florida, DJ Lag.
Do they do the thing where, like, because some places retire the jersey, but the number is still in circulation?
I don't think they retire anything.
Wow. Yeah. But anyway, with Belichick, I don't know. I sometimes I'm like, this is absolutely a bleep show, and it's going to be bad. But he is a good coach, obviously. They've got funding. They've got, like, a big apparatus, you know, going on there. They've got the G. I mean, I don't know. I could see it going. It's probably going to be what it'll probably be. It's probably something like Deion, which is like they'll go 8-4. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if it's like bad, oh my goodness.
I cannot believe
they
UNC,
are done communicating via email. I'll tell you that.
I cannot believe UNC would support my being called a predator is an email uncovered here. All right.
Bye, Bill.
Thank you, Bill.
And by the way, UNC said, no, we do not support that.
By the way, just in case you're wondering.
We do not support that. But, you know, thanks for, you know, showing up to coach our team and bringing along your 24-year-old girlfriend.
How old is he?
70. Is he 76?
72.
How old is Bill Belichick? I'm sure it's in here.
I think he's 73-ish.
Okay. Well, how old is she again?
24.
Okay. Just checking.
Yeah, 72. 72 and 24. So it's not a full 50
years. Hey, it's his birthday tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Bill's birthday is tomorrow.
So it'll be a 49 years. It will not be a 50-year split. It will not quite be 50 years.
Yeah.
I mean, how many, like...
Did you ever go find those...
Jokes has Vrabel made about this.
Did you ever go find those pictures I told you about of those two on the beach together? And
you sent it to me, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. It's good stuff.
It was unsettling. Really bothered me. I mean, it was seriously, like, I think of being on the beach with my children when they were very young.
You know, I did say, wow, it's a grandfather or granddaughter. How about that? There's all these videos coming out from North Carolina spring practice where she's like running around. I mean, clearly she's involved with the football program here. So she's like running around doing stuff. And some of the commentary on social media about it was like, do you remember like when Belichick was with the Patriots and threw this big fit because Tom Brady wanted to have his own personal trainer around and he wanted no part of that? And yet here he is in college football with his 24-year-old girlfriend running around while guys are over here doing the cone drill at practice. Like, what's going on over here?
That's a fair comparison to bring up, I got to say. Joe on the text line says, Joe, shouldn't the president seize the moment and invite Bill Belichick and his girlfriend to a game next season? It seems like we miss an opportunity. I think so. Where's Sean Henry? Sean, are you listening?
Yeah.
Make it happen.
Maybe so. Hey, by the way,
they're not that far away.
George Kittle and Brock Purdy at the Predators game last night.
Kittle's always there.
Yeah,
he brought
Purdy.
Brock. Yeah.
He brought Brock.
Yeah.
Brock's about to get paid a lot of money, I think. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. That's cool.
Yeah. Well,
they saw his buddy destroy the ice.
You think
delay the game?
Yeah. Do you think Bill Belichick is sending emails today of like, hey, how did they get our emails? Wait a minute. How did the Athletic acquire these emails?
Here's an email expressing my outrage that they got our emails.
Block. He's on the Instaface now.
Who do we need to kill at the Athletic? Signed, Bill Belichick.
615-737-1025, our phone number. That was unexpected today. Come up with one of those.
Good stuff.
We'll get into the Titans, some of the latest mock draft revelations from Mel Kiper coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Obviously, there has to be some level of interest, right? Because you're not scheduling a private workout in Boulder, Colorado, after you spent all the time that you have with Shedeur Sanders all year long. They've been at his games all year long. They've been tracking him all year long. They met with him. He's come to New York. They're going there. They're at the pro day. Like, there's been a ton of time invested in Shedeur Sanders. And so this is one final private workout to help them make a decision about whether or not they will then go ahead and draft him or not. And, I mean, that's the only way to interpret it, right? Like, you're not scheduling that private workout 1 week before the draft in Boulder because you have no interest, right? It's not some smokescreen all of a sudden.
That was Adam Schefter earlier today reacting to the news that the Giants are working out Shedeur Sanders one more time in Boulder. That's coming up this Thursday. We're late in the game here, Joe. Draft's next week, but one more workout from Shedeur Sanders' point of view for the New York Giants. Interesting decision there. You know, Tannenbaum put this out there earlier. So, that news came out, and Mike Tannenbaum, friend of the show and former NFL general manager, says about the decision to have another private workout this late in the game with Shedeur Sanders by the Giants. Quote, when this happens so late in the process, either there's a big disagreement in their building on their evaluation or they're reacting to new information. Now, I don't know what new information they would be getting at this point in the draft, but that's what Tannenbaum says, Joe. Your thoughts?
Well, my thought is maybe the Giants listen to this program and – you know, one of us has been saying Shedeur's a better prospect than Cam Ward. So they're like, you know what? Rather than try to trade up and worry about Cam, let's just stick and let's just get our QB of the future right here at three. Or maybe. Yeah, I mean, I generally agree with what Schefter said. They're like, man, this is a little much for a smokescreen. But, you know, maybe they hope someone sees that they did this and like, okay, we have to, like, we've got to try to get in there. But that's the thing. Yeah, but I mean, if they loved him that much, you're not going to get in there anyway.
Yeah.
You're not going to – so, you know, I got to take it seriously.
I would too. I mean, it's interesting. You typically don't see the workouts like a week before the draft. It's like, hey, we're making this decision next week, so let's work you out again.
Yeah.
I mean –
can you come run the 40 again?
Yeah, it's very interesting. So we'll see exactly what that means for Shedeur Sanders and the New York Giants. They're flashing a graphic up on ESPN right now. So apparently the betting odds of the second quarterback to be selected in the draft on March the 25th, Shedeur Sanders was minus 1,600. Today he's minus 225. Jackson Dart went from plus 700 to plus 160.
Okay.
In a couple of weeks there. That's interesting.
That is
interesting.
That's
a heck of a jump in the betting odds.
That is. So maybe Dart becomes, you know, maybe Dart becomes QB2 in this draft.
I
think if it doesn't, like if it doesn't happen for Shedeur, you know, pretty early, it could be a bit.
It could be. Could be. Now keep in mind, you know, I think back to the Will Levis draft, and, you know, there's all the stuff on Reddit. Like, hey, you know, Will Levis could go number one. And people kept reacting to all that, and it influenced the betting odds. Like, there was a time where I don't know if Will Levis was the favorite to go number one overall, but he moved up, like, sharply to go number one overall. And then, of course, we know what happened. He did not go in the first round.
Like, what at that moment, because obviously Bryce went one. Like, at that moment, what could you have gotten for Bryce? Nah, I'd like to know. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Could have made some cash.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but to your point, weird things can affect these things, for sure.
So
I don't know that Vegas really knows who's picking who here. I know Vegas knows. Yeah. Vegas knows. They actually don't know a lot of stuff.
So Field Yates and Mel Kiper have come out with a three-round mock draft. So we are mercifully, Joe, getting to the end of mock draft season here. But it is interesting from the Titans standpoint, from this standpoint. Now, look, Field Yates, spoiler alert, goes Cam Ward, number one overall to the Titans. So what they do here is they alternate picks. So like Field Yates picks one, and then Mel Kiper picks the next team. So that's what they do throughout this whole thing. So no surprise, Cam Ward going at number one for the Titans with Field Yates as the selection. It gets back around to the Titans, obviously, at pick number 35. And we've been wondering for weeks, like, who is going to be available at 35 that the Titans are going to have to make the decision of, all right, do we want to stay here, stick and pick, and take advantage maybe of a player that we really like here at 35, or is the opportunity going to be there where we can trade back, maybe pick up an extra third rounder, get back deeper into the second round, and go that route? Well, right here, they've got Jaden Higgins from Iowa State being available at pick number 35 for the Titans, which is not a huge surprise. I think there's probably a pretty good chance he'll be there. And if the Titans picked him, I'd probably be fine with it. I like him. I think he's a good player. Luther Burden's also on the board here again.
Huh.
And they've got Luther Burden going the next pick to Jacksonville at 36. So the Burden stuff continues to be interesting to me, like how he just keeps falling. By the way, in this draft, they've got James Pierce at 43 to San Francisco.
My God. Oh, geez. That's fair.
Yeah.
So which of them gave Higgins instead of Burden to the Titans?
It was Field Yates.
Yates did. Okay, that's a weird thing I'd expect Mel to do.
Yeah.
Did he give a reasoning? Or are they just by the second round?
He says the Titans got Cam Ward. Now they must provide him with some legit playmakers beyond Ridley. Higgins brings size, speed, and versatility outside. So maybe the outside part of it?
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm not going to pretend that I've watched a lot of Burden in his time at Missouri. I've watched very little of Higgins. I mean, it's arguable. It's just to me, I really feel like Burden is a late first round player, you know, that if you're available, that, you know, you'd be lucky to be able to have him at 35. But I don't know that Higgins isn't the better choice for the Titans. Maybe he is.
Yeah, maybe he is. I mean, they don't have Tet McMillan going in this draft until pick 25.
Wow.
To Houston.
God, that's fair, too.
That's fair.
Here you go, CJ.
Yeah. They got Matthew Golden, the first receiver off the board, at 12 to Dallas.
Which I could see.
And then there's Egbuka coming off at 22 to the Chargers. I mean, the Chargers definitely need a receiver.
So just three first-round receivers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. The consensus on this draft seems to be, you know, yes, you're light in terms of the premium players. It's light. And obviously it's not well regarded in terms of quarterbacks, but it's also packed in that 2-3-4 range where it's like you have, like, you can get players like in the third and even the fourth that, like, are better than some years at those same spots.
I say only three,
which is why you want to try to somehow get more picks if you can back out of 35 right. to me if it's possible.
I say there's only three first round receivers. They do have Travis Hunter at two, in which Kiper says he'd play him on offense. So there you go.
Which is why you play him on defense. Just kidding. Everybody loves Mel Kiper. But you do play him on defense.
I was interested to see. You know, Kiper has been much higher on Shedeur Sanders than most in the draft process here. So I was interested to see where they had Shedeur going here. And if he would like – I would love to know if Kiper – you know, basically Field Yates is doing the odd numbers here and Kiper's doing the even numbers. So, like, you know, Yates gets 1 and 3. Kiper gets 2 and 4. Like, if Kiper had 3 to the Giants, would he have picked him – Sanders to go there? They got Abdul Carter going to the Giants. Field Yates did. And then all the way down at 9 is where Sanders is off the board to the Saints.
To the Saints, yeah.
Who, by the way, we have not discussed over the weekend. The Derek Carr stuff is fascinating.
Yeah. It sounds
could miss
like
the entire year.
Could miss the entire year. Seems like this is – it's new news to all of us, but it's something that has been known, it seems, by some.
I guess. I mean, I guess that would make sense why, like, basically their entire organization was at Cam Ward's pro day, right? Like, it was like, well, let's just – we got to take a long look at these quarterbacks if there's a possibility that ours cannot play football this year.
Yeah. So it's – so if you're them, do you feel good about – if Shedeur is who you're looking at, do you feel good about him being there at 9? Giants just worked him out, man. Giants just got him out there.
Yeah, maybe that's who they're trying to smokescreen here. If you're the Giants of, hey, New Orleans, if you like this guy, might need to come make a deal with us because we'll take him.
Yeah, we're going to take him if you don't give us the world.
Yeah. It's going to be really interesting to see how that goes. Hey, look, I think we've reached the point with the Titans and really the Browns when you look at all the reporting around it. Like, it kind of feels like the draft starts at 3 with the Giants. Like, it feels like Ward's going 1 and Hunter's going 2. That's what it feels like as we sit here today. 9 days out from the NFL draft.
Yeah, 3 is obviously, man, could go a lot of ways. I'm also really interested to see what the Vrabster does.
Yeah.
At 4.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's got them taking a tackle, but tell you what, man. Someone in this first round is going to get a star in this league for many years to come. They're at least like good 4 or 5 years of stardom and it absolutely inject life into your offense and Ashton Jeanty.
Yeah.
He's going to be lightning in this league.
The Atlanta Braves country road trip coming to town and teaming up with the Nashville Predators in 102.5 The Game. Join us at the BetMGM Sports Lounge in Bridgestone Arena tomorrow for a Braves watch party as they take on the Toronto Blue Jays at noon. Be awesome giveaways like a chance to win Braves tickets to the game of your choice every 30 minutes, plus Braves hats, T-shirts, autographed baseballs. First 15 people in the door will win a pair of Preds tickets to tomorrow night's game as well. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/events. More of your thoughts to get to on the NFL draft front. We'll do that coming up next. And wrap things up here on Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. This week's Nashville's best deal is Chiba Hut Toasted Subs. Get half off a $50 gift card now at thegamenashville.com/deals. And celebrate 420 the Chiba way on Donaldson Pike. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road.
Sounds like college.
102.5, 106.3 The Game. Brought to you by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get-it-all. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership with a buzz. Is always about great service. We are 9 days out from the first round of the NFL draft, Joe. We're getting ever so closer here. And what we presume to be the launching of the Cam Ward era for the Tennessee Titans. By the way, Cam Ward will be in Green Bay attending the draft. So, discovered that yesterday. They listed, I think, I want to say they had, was it 17 guys that are going to the NFL, including Jalen Milroe. So, see how long he's standing around in Green Bay.
So, 16 guys will go in the first round. There's 16 guys who aren't there who will go in the first round. And then there's Jalen Milroe.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I hope he enjoys it. Great cheese curds up there.
I can't wait till somebody takes him at, like, you know, 28th or whatever.
I mean, I would be amazing.
Is there anybody in the back part? I mean, you can obviously people can trade, but is there anybody in the back part of the draft that was like, well, we'll get 2 years ahead of quarterback here and just we'll have our replacement lined up? I'm trying to look.
Is it possible because
Rams?
Is it possible because he is that kind of athlete that someone's like, you know what? Look at what, like, the Ravens have done with that offense,
yeah,
with Lamar Jackson, why don't we try the same thing? The problem is Lamar Jackson's a great quarterback all the way around,
right,
and does things that, you know, you just haven't seen from Jalen Miller. But I'm just wondering if it's like, why can't we try that model in this league?
Maybe somebody does. Maybe that's why he's at the draft.
I mean, maybe some team told the NFL, "Hey, man, we're coming to get him." I'm here for it. A couple things we have to figure out, Rob, before the show ends. Ian, we haven't figured out what Ian's rants are going to be called.
Well, what did you throw out there?
Well, someone texted and said disagreeing.
That's not bad.
But I also said, hey, let's go on a safar rant.
Mm-hmm. The last name could work. Yeah.
You know, now
he did say actually, the last name could work. He did not say that specific example could work.
Yeah, he's like, we've got to workshop some of this.
Yeah.
Also, can you imagine Ian ranting about anything?
No.
Like, have you ever seen Ian get mad about anything?
There was one that popped into my head that I'm going to. I got two kind of.
Oh,
he's ready to go.
Okay.
That I've kind of like, you know, put on the back burner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you just let us know.
One sports, one non-sports.
Great.
Well, look, I've seen back in the day, Ian do some Predators games in here where he used to get a little fired up. I've seen Ian get fired up.
Yeah, before. Those days when you sit on the board for a four-hour Stillman & Company or Jared and the GM and then go into a Preds game and you're here till around, I don't know, 11, and someone likes to just, I'm not going to name names, but yes.
Someone likes to just what?
You know, prolong things perhaps that maybe don't need prolonging.
Yeah. I've seen Ian get fired up around here.
Okay,
it can happen.
Okay, Hal Gill, who are we talking about here? I want to name names.
I don't think it's Hal Gill. I'm comfortable saying that. I don't think it's Hal Gill.
All right, you guys will have to tell me during the break. I also have breaking news, by the way.
Okay.
Congratulations to Nolensville Zone. Fridays for Knights. Bo Holloway.
Yeah.
Left-hander, top player in the state. He's the number 9 player in the country. He has committed. Congratulations to Vanderbilt. He committed to Vanderbilt. Tennessee, Tony Vitello in hot pursuit of Bo Holloway. LSU and Texas were the other suitors. So, big win for Tim Corbin. Now, the question, as is often the case here, is he going to get to campus? Because he may just go pro. But big-time talent, which is what we produce in Nolensville, Tennessee. We produce big-time talent, okay? So, congratulations to Bo.
Yeah.
Great kid and big time pitcher, and congratulations. That's a win. I mean, Vitello, man, they're rolling, and Vitello's program is rolling. It has a championship. I mean, that's a good win for Corbin over Vitello on the recruiting trail in the state of Tennessee.
And you know, Corbin really needs some of these guys to like not go pro and actually show up to campus. Yeah. And go play.
I mean, they still need more power. They need more offense. You know, they're good in pitching. They're a good team. You know, they're like what, ranked 15th, right in that range. Tennessee, top, third, fourth, fifth, right in there. Yeah. So, but that's a good recruiting win. We got Nolensville to Vanderbilt pipeline is strong.
It is strong. We got a vote for Irate Ian from Mike on the text line.
Irate Ian.
Good alliteration, yes.
Yeah, alliteration is key.
Yeah, alliteration is always good. Trevor says, having worked with Stilly the Pooh, I'm sure he can come up with something to rant about. That's true.
Yeah.
Well, but again, the fact that he worked with Stilly all this time, and he's like, hey, how you guys doing? Everybody good? Hey, I'm feeling good. I'm Ian. I'm happy. I mean, that tells you something.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know who Ian could really rant about is our in-studio guest tomorrow. I thought Kuharsky was a little rough on Ian.
Thought Kuharsky's about to get one from Ian last week?
I think that you should save up a little rant because, I mean, let's face it, it's very easy to rant about Kuharsky.
Sure, yeah, there's probably some things we could clarify.
Yeah. There's probably some things we could really address.
Paul,
let me clarify a couple things for you, Paul. A nice gentle dismantling of
Paul,
Kuharsky.
Number one being... You do not do well in physical confrontation.
Well, neither do I, so we'll have to work on that.
You and PK would be interesting.
It would. Got to vote for the Steelers to be the one that land Jalen Milroe in the draft. I don't know. Like, just are you taking him at 21? I'm probably not. Somebody might.
I mean, the whole Steelers thing, too, by the way. Again, like Charles told us, you know, like it's going to be post-draft,
yeah.
I guess. But still, are you comfortable if you're the Steelers that it's that it's going to happen?
Let me ask you this: like, if Derek Carr can't play, like if you're the Saints, would you want to get involved in that on the Rodgers front?
Would he?
I would probably. If I'm him, I'm still. I think the Steelers are a more attractive option at that point. Now, I will say, the attractiveness about the Saints would probably be that you're playing in the NFC South. It's not a great division, but I don't know. It's just the Derek Carr thing is interesting with the way it's all broken down.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that, but that is worth a thought with Rodgers. I mean, New Orleans, great jazz, food, drugs. I mean, they've got a lot of things that Aaron Rodgers likes. So, they have caves. Do they have caves down there? I don't know.
Lots of swamps.
I don't know if they got caves.
More like swamps.
Yeah, Schefter said there's more to this Saints and Carr situation. He's not quite sure what, but there's something else kind of to figure out.
Well, didn't they restructure his contract like a couple months ago? Like, it makes sense that they're.
Yeah, I think they did actually.
Yeah, so I don't know. Like, it's interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Chip from Mount Juliet. Chiyan. I don't know, man.
Keep them coming on the text line. Keep them coming.
It's worth a shot. We'll
continue to workshop.
Mitch says steaming with Safar.
Okay. I mean, we're getting to the point of maybe too much words. There, but.
We're getting to the point where maybe I don't have to read all the texts that come in
face. I keep them coming. I'm all for the text, the suggestions for what we should call Ian's rant.
I'm just excited that Ian has a couple already
in there. Yeah, I like it too. I like it too. Well, we will have Kuharski on the show tomorrow. We'll get into the Legarius Sneed stuff with him, his final thoughts as the draft approaches. Next week, I guess we will have one more pre-draft meeting with PK beyond tomorrow. But that's it.
Yeah.
Right around the corner. Looking forward
to it. Thank God.
Yes. Very well
said. So close.
That does it for us today here on the show. If you missed anything, check it out, Robbie and Rex Row, wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, thegamenashville.com. We got Chase and Big Joe coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.